All right, great to have you back with us on this Sunday morning as the Giants go to sweep the Dodgers. How about that? Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Marty. Doing well, thanks.
What a game, huh?
Oh, geez. Watching these last two games, I mean, for all the disparity in talent, you know, just watching these two games, the Giants are playing the game a little bit better than the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. They just are. All the little things you have to do. Kapler had an amazing game yesterday, one good move after another, but they're hanging tough with a superior team and talent, but you have to play it. You have to execute it. You have to see what happens when you actually get out there. And the Giants are not by a big margin, but they're outplaying the Dodgers. They're 4.5 out now, and it's very encouraging.
Yeah, the funny thing is they can handle the Dodgers. And I said in my opening today, I think they've won, five, six of the last eight in San Francisco, something like that, 12 of 19. They can handle the Dodgers. They really can. It's everybody else with the Dodgers. That's the problem.
Yeah, well, it's been that way for years. I mean, I don't know the numbers, but they always play the Dodgers straight up. I don't remember too many years where they just got smoked every time, and they're usually right around 500. You know, again, when the Dodgers are on their way to winning the division or whatever. But yeah, that means an awful lot. I mean, especially last year and this year when you think, you know, the Giants really do have a chance to win the division. I mean, for heaven's sake, or at least get into the playoffs. So they've got to clean things up against the other teams. And, you know, really what they've got coming up is going to be pretty interesting. You'd think they have a chance to cash in. They got Kansas City, you know, coming up. Who's after that?
Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh and
then Atlanta.
They're in Pittsburgh and Atlanta. Then they come back and they got the Reds and Detroit, mm-hmm. and the White Sox who are kind of in the tank, and then Arizona. So, you know, theoretically, after all that's over, I would be shocked if they're in worse position than they are now.
That's a good point. Very good point. And even this week, the Dodgers have the Angels, and the Angels broke loose yesterday against the Mets. How about that? Do you like the cycle? I mean, Walsh went for the cycle for the Angels yesterday. They made a big deal about it. What do you think about the cycle? How unique is it?
It's awesome. It's a terrific thing. It's very, very hard to do. Basically, that his triple was basically a single to center. The guy tried, you know, made a nice diving attempt, and it wasn't so egregious that you'd call it an error and rolls by him and it's a triple. But in any case, you know, the teammates get completely fired up. He gets into the news. It's a good thing to have. There's nothing dubious about a cycle. But I'll tell you, to watch Ohtani and Trout go completely off, I mean, just at their max, was really something to watch.
Well, they need it. The Angels are struggling. Let's face it. I think they've lost, 20 of 24, something ridiculous with the 14-game losing streak. But this is the time for Trout, really, and he hit two homers last night. And it's a time for Ohtani to pitch some games and go deep in a game.
Yeah, it's funny. With all the talk about Aaron Judge, and rightfully so, he's sort of been elevated to that sort of best player in the game status over Trout. And the Angels losing streak had a lot to do with that. You know, aside from Judge is going to be going after the home run record, that's going to be a big story. But, you know, everybody knows what Trout is all about, and I'm sure he took it personally. He had a terrible slump, but he's obviously out of that now. So I think he's going to reclaim that position, although, you know, Judge might wind up making more money than him at when this is all over.
Boy, interesting. You know, looking at just next year, and I don't know if you thought about it, but, you know, we're going to have this different kind of schedule next year. And the Giants-Dodgers play 19 times, but next year they're only going to play 14 times. Then there's going to be 60 games with the rest of the National League, and then three with the 14 teams of the American League, and four with the A's. So do you like it? Do you like that for next year?
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about it is fewer games against the Dodgers, but it's also fewer games against Arizona and Colorado, which doesn't bother me at all. But the whole thing about this schedule is that you play everybody every year. If it's a team from the other league, you get the Yanks for three games at Oracle, then the following year you got the three at Yankee Stadium. and then back to Oracle, which I think is absolutely terrific. I mean, to just play one division, as they've been doing from the other league, that's too restrictive and not always very fair. But now you're playing everybody. I think it's great because you get a look at everybody, either live or on the tube.
Yeah, I'm going to miss the Dodger games, I will tell you
that's
that.
That's true. Yeah.
19-14. But that's what happens next year, so we'll follow that story. You know, Aaron Judge has been in the news a lot, Bruce, and you know, the Giants, all of a sudden, the word is the Giants are going to be big players for Aaron Judge. I like that, and I'm glad the national media has picked it up because now they could work it and keep working it, and maybe the Giants would be forced to do something here.
Well, in most cases, if you're going after somebody who's going to want a lot of money for a lot of years, you really would have to force, Farhan and the whole organization into coming into play. Yeah. In this case, I don't think you need a lot of forcing. I think you have to get into that game. I really would be surprised if he doesn't re-sign with the Yankees. You know, they've got the money. They got the prestige. You know, to go after, the home run feats of Maris and Mantle and Ruth and, you know, Bonds or whatever it might be in New York. You know, Judge knows the meaning of that. But he is he's a Northern California guy. He's basically local. And I'm sure would consider the Giants for a lot of reasons. They got a great ballpark. Which would not bother him at all. I think he'd miss the porch in right field Yankee Stadium, which is just a cakewalk home run for anybody, even an opposite field, line drive that's going out of the park. And Oracle is the absolute flip side of that. So, I don't see it actually happening. You know, if you're talking about 8 years and at $37 million a year, they would probably get over that and weigh in, but I don't think they emerge with Judge. I'd love to see it, but I think he stays with the Yanks.
Yeah, this would be one of the – they'll kick the tires, so to speak.
Well, they will. Yeah, they'll hurt their foot, but at least they tried.
We've heard that enough, and they've done that with Harper and other people. But, you know, part of the Judge story is, you know, how the Yankees will do this year. Look, the Yankees are going nuts. Six home runs yesterday off Swarmer, the pitcher for the Cubs, six solo shots. Their record, they're winning, Bruce, 730 or 740% of the games. And what if they win the World Series? Pressure on Judge to stay? I wonder if the Yankee team will, their result will be pressure on him.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, then again, he's got a ring, and he might be a little more amenable to moving on if he's, let's just say he's not, you know, that comfortable living in New York, which definitely will apply to a lot of people. Other people, that's like the only place they would want to be. It's just like, man, get me there, and I'm just going to stay there. But I don't know. I can't read him in that regard. But the pressure, you know, is certainly on the Yankees to keep him around, no matter where they finish. I mean, this guy he's just golden. He's a very good fielder, good arm, terrific guy, great teammate. He's in his prime. He's just everything about him is great, you know. As opposed to Josh Donaldson's living with a weird thing that he did, and that's going to be with him for a while. And a lot of players have that some kind of stigma, but there's nothing that I know of on Judge. He's just a positive thing every way you look at it.
Well, it's a good story to follow, and I think maybe the Yankee success will have a bearing on it. So, yeah, I love it. Hey, the All-Star balloting has started, Bruce. Have you voted yet? You can vote. You can vote five times every day within 24 hours. Have you looked at this All-Star thing the way they're doing it?
I haven't looked at it in terms of how the ballot looks. I don't have a ballot yet. I'm just gonna vote once. I mean, that's the way it should be. It certainly doesn't look good for the Giants. I mean, the position players are just overwhelming. I mean, you take third base. You know, okay, you got Machado and Arenado. Period. What about Austin Riley? The guy's just a home run machine. You know. Matt Olson, I don't think he's going to get past Goldschmidt and Freddie Freeman. You know, just stuff like this. The outfield is ridiculous. It's just all the way down. And even for somebody like Rodon or Webb, you know, the way Burns and Musgrove and Alcantara, you know, Zach Wheeler's in there, Kyle Wright, Zach Gallen. I mean, I think it's going to be a Giants pitcher, and there won't be anything screwy about that. I'd really like to see it be Logan Webb on the real side. That'd be my choice. But it's totally loaded, and the A's, I don't know who would really get on there for them, but well, somebody will.
That's a good question. Blackburn. Yeah. How about Blackburn? He's pitching.
you like him or Murphy, yeah.
Yeah, he's. But the whole All-Star thing is interesting. And again, I say you could vote five times every single day, which is kind of bizarre. And then they have a tier system that in the beginning of July, the top player at each position automatically is on the team. Mm. And then the next two of the infielders and the next six of the outfielders, they go into sort of a playoff for another vote to see who gets in of that crowd. And then the remaining 23 pitchers and reserves are picked by the commissioner and the players. And that's where the pitchers come in, and that's where, like, a Webb or Rodon will get picked. But the interesting thing to me, if I read this correctly, if you come in first in the first group of top at your position, you get a bonus of $15,000. How about that? That's enough to pay the parking lot attendant.
It might take care of a property tax payment, and you're on your way.
Really?
Yeah, boy, that changes everything, man. 15, they got to be kidding.
Really? For these guys?
All news to me. This is all news to me. I haven't studied it at all. I'm going to pretend it's the old days, and I'm going to vote once, and you know that's it. The rest they can do it, sort it out the way they want. But there's so much talent in the game that it'd be very hard to screw up the rosters.
That's what we have going. You know, you and I have talked about Sunday mornings looking at the batting averages and things like that. So I took a look this morning. At the batting averages in each league. And listen to this, Bruce. You can comment on some of these players. In the American League, from Minnesota, Arraez is hitting .367. J.D. Martinez, .347. Then you have Devers at .335. Then you've got .329 and Bogarts at .321. Ty France at .329. How about that? For the American League, that's the batting leaders for the American League in average.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's faceless by any means, but it's funny how people aren't paying as much attention to that as they are.
No.
Byron Buxton, going to Julio Rodriguez, one of the best-looking rookies who's come along in a long time. Tim Anderson and Anthony Rizzo, guys that are Trevor Story and guys that are doing more than just hitting for average, Yordan Alvarez, Rosarena. It goes on and on. It's just terrific. But I'm with you. I never completely ignore the batting averages. I still think it tells you a lot about somebody. It's not valued as much by front offices, but I mean, hell, you want to be hitting .320 or .240. I mean, there's a difference there.
Well, you bring up a great point, and that is they sell the personalities of the players and the excitement of the players, as opposed to we would always look and say, "Hey, who's leading the league in hitting?" And that would. But here's
I can't answer that. I got to look at the stat. I literally couldn't have told you any of that.
Yeah, and here's a national. No, I couldn't either. Believe me, I could not have done this in a million years. Here's the National League: Goldschmidt .327, Harper .322, Machado .320. Cooper from the Marlins, who hit well against the Giants, .315, and McNeil of the Mets, .312. How about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, the top three are more in the category that we're talking about. I mean, Goldschmidt, Harper, and Machado, that's the Taj Mahal. Those are the guys that you don't walk away from at bat like you might with Arraez or J.D. Martinez. Those are the headliners. So, and that to me is the ultimate, remembering guys like Mays and Aaron, who are always up there for the batting title. Not always, but most of the time, they're right there. You're among the showcase players with a lot of power, but you're also in the batting race. That's the ultimate.
Yeah, and we'll finish on this one that Harper, I just pointed out to you, is in a real race here for the Triple Crown. And then, interesting, you know, we don't really get a lot of Harper news here, but I know you watch him all the time. But homers, yeah. RBIs, batting average, and he leads the league in slugging. He's having an amazing year. So I'm glad on a Sunday morning we could look at that and just see what the results are.
We can't open the paper and see, you know, tons of agate with everybody's batting average and see who's below the Mendoza line and see the whole thing. But, you know, that's a bygone era.
Well, very quickly, we do have a moment in history today, the dedication of the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. And I think it's that iconic picture of the first inductees.
Yeah, what a photo. You got, how often you get, you know, Babe Ruth and Honus Wagner and Walter Johnson, Cy Young and Connie Mack all in that photo. It's really special. If you could look it up if you have an eye on baseball history. But the first group was 1936. That's when they first inducted people into the Hall of Fame. And then 1937 and 39 is when they finally had the official induction ceremony, and everyone was there. One name I didn't recognize who went in 1937 was George Wright. Hmm. Now, George Wright played for the first all-professional baseball team was the Cincinnati Red Stockings. Hmm. In 1869. I don't know what kind of ball they were using. This guy hit .629 with 49 homers in 57 games.
I love it.
In 1869, he made such an impact for basically the first team, you know, the pro team ever. He was never forgotten, and he went on to have a nice career with the Boston Red Stockings and everything else. You know, great career, but you know, that's an awful long way back. Not many people hear that name and go, "Oh yeah, old George, what a player!" You know, but he's right in there with all these guys.
Yep, he could hit the other way. All right, great. Well, a pleasure talking to you today. See if the Giants go for the sweep. They got their guy on the mound. Hopefully see a good game out of him. But next week it's the Pirates, so we'll talk to you next weekend.
Great. Thanks, Marty.
Okay, always a pleasure. All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. Always a pleasure talking ball with him. All right, coming up next, I'm going to chat with Tony Watson, our philosopher of baseball. That's coming up right here on the Sports Leader.